Hi, I'm JJ Walsh. So I just got back from a great trip for 2 weeks in California. And one of the highlights of my trip was visiting this Recology Recycling Center in San Francisco. Robert Reed, who's the PR manager there, gave me the tour around and explained so many things about their targets, machinery, labor, and all the interesting things that make Recology so successful. Recology has now spread to other locations across the West Coast and been very successful in reducing the amount of waste. One of the key factors is 100% composting. Recology collects from the curbside, just like all the other trash, the composting, and makes it into amazing soil, which then is wanted and used in cover crops and farms and agriculture and vineyards around the California area. So that is also an added boost to the economy. It creates a lot of jobs. It creates benefits to the environment and benefits to society. So I was very impressed by how effective Recology is in so many different areas. And I think there's a lot we can learn by what happens to our trash after we put it in the bin. It also gives us an insight into how we as consumers can change the way we buy things and choose things which are easier to recycle and not choose things which cannot be recycled or very difficult to recycle. So I think this kind of information can really inform us as consumers, especially as we're going into the Christmas buying season, that we should really be choosing things in reusable containers or recyclable containers and choosing less plastics. So I hope you enjoy this tour, and please make sure to write your questions and comments below, and I promise to reply. I had wanted to visit this facility for many years after visiting the zero waste sorting station in Kamikatsu in Tokushima, Japan, which also has zero waste targets, but only 1,500 people in the community. San Francisco's Recology is recycling waste from more than a million people every day.
And I don't think you'll find another recycling plant in the United States that does that.
So you said 615 a day?
650.
650, 650 a day.
For recycling.
For recycling. So this is all from the blue bin, recycled bin.
From the blue bin. We use modern recycling equipment and hand sorting by recycling workers.
Okay.
And we're able to achieve that in this plant, which is highly unusual.
Wow.
One of the reasons we're able to achieve that is because, unlike other cities, we're collecting the food scraps separately. And so there's no banana peels here, there's no coffee grounds or chicken bones here. What you get here is a lot, as you can see, is a lot of cardboard from online shopping and a lot of computer paper and office paper, and then bottles and cans.
Right.
Here's a number for you. Globally, we're consuming 1 million plastic bags a minute. Just let that one sink in.
It's crazy.
Okay? Well, it's worse than crazy because there's a lot of sea life that is dying because of that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of problems associated with plastic bags, and people only use them for about 10 minutes.
And
so we're you know, there's a lot of places that are trying to ban them, and there's a lot of people that are using tote bags, reusable canvas bags, and we're trying to get away from this overconsumption of plastic bags.
Of single use, it's crazy. People are seeking sustainability in travel as well as where they live.
Yeah.
It's important to everybody.
Not just travel, but in how they spend their consumer dollars. People are trying to send a message with their consumer dollars to the marketplace.
And it's working, I think. I think it's putting pressure on the industry.
It's the more that we do, the more we'll see.
Right. So how many people, to give a general sense, how many people are in your reach for this collection right here? How many population?
population of San Francisco is 900,000 inhabitants.
Wow.
But then you've got a lot of people commute into the city. So on a weekday, by 12 o'clock, you've got 1.5 million people in San Francisco.
Because of the visitors as well as residents, right?
Commuting.
Okay.
Some are white, some are clear, some are yellow, some are black, right? Different ones. Plastics, like 1 gallon milk jugs, plastic, and 2 liter water bottles that are plastic. Okay.
Any plastic we see here is being recycled in America, or are you still shipping some off to other countries for recycling?
Well, of the 14 different materials we recycle here, 7 are plastics. And some of the plastics go to domestic locations, and some of them go to Indonesia and Malaysia.
And they are recycling it there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know how many types of plastics have been brought to the marketplace since plastic went industrial in 1950?
10? I'll guess
more than
10.
1,000.
What? And you're talking actual materials different?
Yes.
Why? There's just been no standardization in plastics.
No. Have been the opposite.
Very bad planning.
Right.
So why? Why isn't it regulated like other materials?
Plastic lobby is very strong. They're called big plastic. There was efforts this summer to advance some regulation here in California. And when there were meetings at the legislature, environmental groups would send 3 or 4 representatives, and the plastic industry would send 25 lobbyists. So they're very influential in knocking down and fighting any kind of regulation. I'm going to show you. I told you we recycle 7 different kinds of plastic in this plant. I'm going to show them to you.
Okay.
One at a time.
Gotcha.
These are plastic water bottles.
Okay.
For 1 day in San Francisco.
That is crazy.
Okay, so that's number one.
Yes.
Plastic water and soda bottles. That's called PET plastic.
Yep. What?
Okay.
Okay.
So these are some of the harder plastics, like the detergent bottles that we talked about, right? There's also some black plastic trays in here.
Like food trays?
Yeah,
stuff?
But yeah. You see that's a hard plastic there. Here's a jug here,
yep.
Right? And another jug here from something called Sweet Tea. And then there's a Kirkland, you know, that's a laundry detergent. So these are, you know, some of the more rigid. There's somebody's ice cube tray. They're kind of harder, stiffer plastics, right?
Second check.
You see a lot of the 5 gallon containers here, right?
Yep.
And milk crates. Here's another 5 gallon container. Really tough, rugged, stiff plastic, right? Number 3. Okay. These are opaque plastics, like those 1 gallon milk jugs and 2 liter water bottles that people would, I guess they buy a big water bottle and put it in their refrigerator. You can see how many of them there are, but the color is opaque. So that's number 4.
Okay.
See how many there are.
Yep.
Again, you see it says milk on here, dairy, right? If you buy your milk in a glass bottle, it's more healthy, it's a higher quality product, it's better for your children, and the bottle gets washed and reused.
Which is much better than ending up here.
Yeah. These are steel cans.
Okay.
See olive oil there, that's a soup can, okay?
These are easier to recycle, the
sure.
steel?
Absolutely, it's a magnet will pick it up off the line. And it goes to a foundry and gets made into new steel products.
Yeah.
see a lot of aluminum cans in there. Soda cans, cat food, right? A lot of aluminum.
Yeah.
There's other plastics. You can see other plastics inside, so we're going to run it across this sort line, and they're going to remove things that are not supposed to be there. Clamshell containers. Those plastic boxes that a salad might come in, or some blueberries or something like that. So these are clamshell containers. That's a fifth kind of plastic. Most cities don't recycle this type of plastic. We only get $1 a pound. So most cities send this to landfill. And I won't buy it. I won't buy a salad in a plastic box.
No. So you use your own container.
I go to the farmer's market and I just buy a loose heads of lettuce and I put them in a canvas tote bag and bring them home and make a salad. So these are plastic bags.
Yeah.
So this is number 6 in the types of plastic. These are plastic bags. As you can see, they're difficult to bale. They don't make a nice square cube. They wrap around the recycling equipment. They're lightweight. They wind up in the ocean. They wind up when a whale beaches itself and they do an autopsy, they find 80 pounds of plastic bags, other film plastic in its stomach. People only use them for about 10 minutes. So we're really trying to encourage people to refuse plastic bags and just never take them and don't buy them.
Is there a charge to buy plastic bags in San Francisco? Like at the counter?
There's a charge for any type of bag in San Francisco. So that's why when you go to a Rainbow Grocery, you'll see everyone bringing their... That's one of the reasons you'll see everyone bringing their own tote bags. Uh-huh. Another reason is people no longer want to support this kind of problem. They want to be part of the solution.
Yep.
So here's...
Also, plastic bags.
These are plastic film.
Oh.
Okay. So here's the seventh kind of material. It's plastic film from used to wrap things around pallets. So as you can see, there's some material there.
Yeah.
Some sand or something, and it's on a pallet. And so it used to be they would put metal straps over boxes when they palletize them, but now people put plastic wrap around them. So we get that plastic wrap here and we try to bale it. It's hard to find anyone to buy it. Okay.
And this is a drop-off for the public to come?
This is a drop-off. It's a small operation in the back. Yeah. But these are, remember we showed you all the aluminum cans?
Yeah.
That were in that cage. So you can see when you bale them, there's nothing there but aluminum cans. So 100%. Zero impurities. Aluminum's a magic metal. It's lightweight, it's strong, it's flexible. I wish I was made of aluminum. And so there's a worldwide market for aluminum. It gets recycled at a higher percentage than any other beverage container.
So if a consumer has to choose what kind of drink container, they should always go for aluminum, you reckon?
Well, I think the best, aluminum is a good option when you're, if you're gonna go to a market and buy a cold drink. There are companies that present their beverages in glass bottles, including glass bottles that can be washed and reused. So in Bay Area, most stores carry Strauss milk, which comes in glass bottles that are then washed and reused. In Germany, a lot of the beer is sold in bottles that are washed and reused.
Yeah.
That's even better than recycling.
Because you don't have to break it down
right.
And make it new.
Right.
Just wash it.
Yeah. These are our three bins in San Francisco. The blue bin, as you can see, is the largest. That's for recycling.
Mm-hmm.
The green bin is the middle size. That's for things you can compost, like your food scraps and your sticks and leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And then the black bin is for trash. A landfill's like this. Mm-hmm. That those cranes are taking the trash up to the top of the landfill. Their landfills are overflowing, and the incinerators are operating 7 days a week, mm-hmm. particularly since China is no longer taking plastics. Mm-hmm. China was taking half of the world's bales of recycled plastic, and they stopped.
When was it they stopped? Was it
January of 2018. Mm-hmm. We want those to go for composting. Mm-hmm. They're grown in the tropics. They're very rich in nutrients and minerals. Uh-huh. They're transported tremendous distances on ships that burn diesel fuel, so they have a very large carbon footprint.
Yeah. So either in your own garden or...
Either in your own garden or throw them in the, you know, in a park or mm-hmm. in the best situation, your city offers a curbside composting program and you would put them in the green bin.
Right.
And, you know, this is why people are coming to San Francisco to see this model.
Yep.
And if you put them in the green bin, we'll turn them into compost and get them onto a farm, and a whole lot of good things will happen. But if you throw them in the garbage, throw them in the black bin, a lot of bad things will happen. Not only will they take up space in a landfill, but when they decompose in a landfill, they produce, it's an anaerobic or an airless environment, and so they produce methane and other potent, very potent greenhouse gases, which are many times more potent than what comes out of an automobile.
Yeah.
So we make custom blends for mm-hmm. the vineyards. So this is the finished compost. Mm-hmm. And I encourage you to look at the thumbs there and see the small pieces on the thumbs of those hands. Very fine pieces. Mm-hmm. So this is what the farmers look for. They want the smaller the pieces, the better.
It's like dust.
So we bring some of the compost back to the city so people can utilize it in their yards and in their home gardens. We donate a lot of the compost to community gardens and school gardens, particularly important to get it to school gardens so that students can learn about what I'm talking to you about. These are the planter boxes from my backyard here in San Francisco, and you can see the compost there in the upper part of the picture, and you can see how healthy the herbs are and the lettuces and how lush and thick they are and colorful they are.
Yeah.
That's because of this healthy soil. And mm-hmm. here you have the leaves on the vine, and these are California poppies. That's one cover crop. And then you have a blue flower, that's a second cover crop. Mm-hmm. And then you have a barley here. You can see the grass. Mm-hmm. That's a third cover crop. And you see how lush and thick they are. Mm-hmm. So they work together to support each other. They are not harvested. Okay? They grow these for multiple reasons. One is to cover the soil, like the sleeve of my shirt protects my skin from the sun, so it's keeping the soil from drying out. Mm-hmm. Two, these crops are engineered to pull carbon and nitrogen from the atmosphere and fix it in the soil. They're called fixers, mm-hmm. right? And so what I'm telling you is when you put your food scraps in a kitchen pail in your kitchen in San Francisco, like your coffee grounds and your banana peels and your eggshells, and then you empty them into that green bin, you're helping turn a vineyard into a carbon sink. You're helping turn a vineyard into a carbon magnet. You're actually doing something about climate change.
Yep.
Okay, and we, using this technique, we can sequester 4 tons of carbon per acre per year. Sometimes more than 4 tons.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. Barack Obama was very interested in this. So,
4 tons per vineyard per year?
4 tons per acre per year.
Per acre.
Per year.
Per year.
It can be more. So I cannot show you a picture of carbon in the atmosphere, but I can show you a picture of plants that pull carbon out of the atmosphere. And this is such a picture. This is that same vineyard, Chateau Mont, it's another tract on that vineyard, Chateau Montalina. Doesn't look like a vineyard, but it's, you can see these stakes that hold the vines, and you can get a feeling for the density of that mustard. Again, it's not harvested. It's grown to pull carbon from the atmosphere and sequester it in the soil. And by the way, they'll mow it once a year, and then when the plant, if they mow it, the places they cut, that just composts and decomposes and goes into the soil. And the roots of the mustard, which grow very deep, they become food for the microbial colonies. So the soil becomes very healthy, and the wine grapes then are very healthy. Plant is very healthy. This is a school cafeteria in Ohio, and two teachers decided to build this recycling table in the middle of the cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
So they used the San Francisco colors, a green for composting,
mm-hmm.
blue for recycling.
Mm-hmm.
They put items up above, and they actually stapled them on here, because some people look up above.
Mm-hmm.
They also put colors down below, because some people look down below. And they even put a red bucket here, so if kids decide they're not going to drink all their milk, then they can empty the milk into that before recycling the container.
So
a national
important.
Push in the wake of China no longer taking. Because now the paper mills demand less than 1% impurities in the finished bag. Now, there's a local law in San Francisco that says every property in San Francisco has to have a blue bin and has to have a green bin. So if we're doing 650 a day in the blue bin, how many tons a day do you think we're doing in the green bin?
The green is compost, right?
Yeah.
800 tons.
Exactly correct. You're the first person ever to get that number right. We're doing 800 tons a day in the green bin. What I'm telling you is that curbside composting has surpassed curbside recycling in San Francisco.
Amazing.
Right. So the city has embraced composting more than any other city in North America. So we bring the compost here. So here's what it looks like on the inside. Right? It's very cool. It's got an air filtration system. And so here's some of the food scraps from people's houses, and here's some and restaurants, and here's some branches from yards. But if you look down along the bottom, you can see these are the food scraps. They tend to sink in the pile. Now here's a branch up here.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to float up in the pile. And you can see some plastic bags in there, like here.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to pull those out, right? They never should have gone in there.
Are those biodegradable plastic bags, or just
Some are just plastic because people
make mistakes.
Have a short attention span, and people make mistakes and things like that. Smartphone make
right.
people go faster, and they make mistakes.
Even biodegradable plastic, though, would you pull it out, or would you compost it?
We would pull it out, and we would compost it separately. So
okay.
Here's a picture of a truck unloading in this facility. So this is infrastructure. This costs $19
million.
Wow. Yeah, most cities don't have this.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't made that investment here. You saw a lot of machines in that recycling plant.
Yep.
We've invested $20 million in this recycling plant in the last 3 years.
So
and
for
optical sorters, you saw the robots working.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What is it? Get it.
Looking for plastic boxes. So watch. See clear plastics coming down here?
Yeah.
And then there. See that box?
Yep.
You want to grab this?
Okay.
See there's one there?
And it does it with suction?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's letting the bottles go forward.
Yeah.
It's removing things that are not bottled.
Okay. Very smart.
But recycling creates 10 times more jobs than landfill or incineration.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very important number. This is one of the reasons why we've had delegations from 140 countries in 7 years. They want the jobs.
Right.
So we've created 200 new jobs in San Francisco in 11 years. These are permanent local jobs. When you create a job in recycling, you can lift up a whole family
mm-hmm.
for several generations. I have friends that work in this plant that did not have jobs before we opened the plant, and today they're able to send their kids to some of the best public universities
nice.
In California.
It's wonderful.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It's yeah. social equity right there.
If everybody recycled in the United States the way that San Francisco does, we would create 1.5 million new jobs.
Mm.
So it's kind of ridiculous when people are running for president and they stand up and they in a debate and they say, I'm going to create 500,000 new jobs, or I'm going to create 800,000 jobs. Obama stood up and said, I'm going to create 800,000 new jobs. Well, if we just recycled, we could create double that.
And we're not even talking about the benefit to the environment as well, right?
Right.
So a big thank you once again to Robert Reed, the PR manager of Recology San Francisco. I learned so much, and I now appreciate how effective recycling can be in creating jobs, improving the environment, and improving our local communities. And I will certainly be stricter on myself when I'm Christmas shopping and shopping for groceries, trying to choose reusable containers, trying to reuse my own containers, and trying to choose materials such as aluminum, metal, and glass, which can more easily be recycled. And definitely try wherever possible to not choose products made in plastic, because it's so difficult to recycle at the moment. I hope you enjoyed the video. Please make sure to subscribe and write your comments and questions down below, and I promise to reply.